two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 5 o'clock, and we've made it to Friday. It's the 10th day of July already. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown, 78 degrees.
Light traffic, no crashes to start our drive. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
The Salt Lake City protests. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
More protests in Salt Lake City last night, and the governor had to declare an emergency before things settled down.
Salt Lake City protests. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik begins our live team coverage live on the scene outside the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office. John?
Yeah, Amanda, a group of a couple hundred protesters began gathering here at the Salt Lake County DA's office a few hours after DA Sim Gill ruled officers were justified in using deadly force when Bernardo Palacios Carbajal was shot and killed back on May 23rd. The group chanted that they were going to stand up and fight back as they plastered the street, sidewalk, and the building with red paint. Salt Lake City Police declared the protest to be unlawful once windows were broken at the building. At that time, they dispersed the crowd, and in the process, a few officers were injured as they reportedly were hit with pepper spray. Additionally, Governor Herbert declared a state of emergency closing the Capitol building. That's going to remain in place until midnight on Monday. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
KSL TV's Andrew Adams continues our live team coverage with more on what led to last night's unrest.
All started with District Attorney Sim Gill walking through his office's investigation and a timeline of events. On May 23rd, someone called police to report they had been robbed at gunpoint. As officers arrived, they got word that a different person had been robbed at gunpoint as well. Police found 22-year-old Palacios Carbajal, who ran away. Gill says the officer's decision to use deadly force didn't come until it was confirmed he had a gun.
Former Salt Lake City Police Chief Chris Burbank says now we have to ask what it's going to take to prevent protests from turning violent in the future.
In order to resolve this issue, we need to say, how are we going to ensure that incidents like people are upset about in Salt Lake City and across the country, how are we going to ensure they don't happen tomorrow?
We'll get more from current Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown in a live interview coming up at 8:15 on Utah's Morning News.
Some small business owners say the state's coronavirus restrictions have gone too far. KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce reports they also held a protest last night.
Robin Openshaw lives in Park City and founded Green Smoothie Girl. She thinks all the restrictions the state slapped on companies to stop a virus with a very low death rate is killing small businesses.
We've lost 15% of our jobs in the first wipeout of our businesses, and many of these restaurants in Park City have not reopened 2.5 months later. And so if we get shut down again, we're literally going to say goodbye to small businesses in Utah.
That's why she organized a protest outside the Salt Lake Health Department last night. About 100 people showed up, many of them also frustrated by what they see as unconstitutional mask mandates. Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.
It's not just new cases escalating in the pandemic. KSL's top national stories this hour with Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
That's right, Amanda. COVID-19 deaths are setting single-day records in Sunbelt states as the pandemic rolls across the nation. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey now orders restaurants to be less than half full.
So you're safer at home. If you're not at home, you're safer outside.
Daily U.S. deaths began climbing a week ago, now approach 1,000 a day. Coronavirus coverage every 30 minutes on KSL News Radio. The young black man found hanged in front of the Lancaster, California City Hall was a suicide, according to a new investigation. They found Robert Fuller had been treated for suicidal thoughts and bought the rope himself. Sheriff Alex Villanueva on those insisting it was a lynching.
They're just pursuing their own political agendas.
Fuller died 1 month ago today. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio helped paint Black Lives Matter along Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower yesterday.
Because there is no America without Black America.
President Trump, who no longer lives there, said the city should spend the money fighting crime instead. And flood watches are up along the Mid-Atlantic and New England as Tropical Storm Fay races up the seaboard. Landfall is later today or tomorrow. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
Teams of cadaver dogs and rescue divers are combing a California lake looking for 33-year-old Glee actress Naya Rivera, who went missing on the lake while boating with her son this week. ABC's Leanne Sutter has more.
A heartbreaking scene captured on security cameras. Rivera and her four-year-old son arriving at the lake, walking out to the pontoon boat they had rented for their tragic trip. Investigators say when she didn't return to the dock, workers searched the lake, finding her son asleep on the boat in his life jacket alone. The authorities say the actress and singer had been boating on the lake before and say they do not suspect foul play.
KSL weather with Grant Wayman. Triple-digit temperatures on their way for parts of the Beehive State this weekend.
We're at the point now where we're going to be talking about excessive heat in parts of our state, the southeast, and Utah's Dixie for this weekend as temperatures there get up to near the 110 range, so about as hot as we get in the summertime for St. George. And for the Wasatch Front, we're talking about temperatures near 100 and tomorrow and Sunday as well.
Grant says the heat sticks around as we start next week, with highs on Monday at about 98 for the Wasatch Front. Then it looks like we cool slightly into the mid-90s for Tuesday and Wednesday.